Defense spending seems to have a life of its own. Neither the Secretary of Defense nor experienced members of the Armed Services Committees can stem the tide of wasteful spending. That's according to Charles Tiefer, professor at the University of Baltimore Law School and former solicitor and deputy general counsel for the House of Representatives. He joins me now with what he sees as some of the more egregious examples of DOD waste coming in 2016. Professor Tiefer, good to have you on.
It's a pleasure.
And so you do have a top 10 list at Forbes.com, and you start off with some of the aircraft wish lists. What's going on there that you see as something wasteful?
Those are billions of dollars that the administration didn't ask for. Over a billion in the F-35 and another billion in the Growler, which is an electronic thing, and the FA-18. And what happened is that the administration weighs its priorities. It asks for some billions of dollars for new aircraft, and it did, and Congress gave it the amount it asked for. And then, on top of that, the Air Force and the Navy prepare wish lists, which are above and beyond the administration budget, and the wish lists go to the members of Congress who are enthusiasts. And they put the extra billions of dollars that weren't asked for in the final budget, pumping the figure up.
And so the committee chairmen then don't seem to have much power over that.
Sometimes they're among the enthusiasts, but you can have, in the Senate, the Armed Services chairman is John McCain. And McCain, although there is a hawk in some respects, sometimes he doesn't want to waste as much money. And he's dealing with items that perhaps have been pushed in over at the House, and he has not turned out to be able to hold back wasteful items.
All right, so that's the aircraft, and then if you go under the sea, you found some more examples of non-budgeted or not desired, I should say, items that plus up the budget.
Well, there's one sort of staggeringly, potentially huge item that involves tens of billions, up to a $90 billion program in the long term. And that's a submarine spending fund. And where that is that the Navy wants to, over the years to come, build a new nuclear submarine fleet like we had during the Cold War when we were up against the Soviet Union. But it knows that it can't justify weighing this against its other priorities. So it's created, that is, Congress has created, congressional enthusiasts for these submarines have created, a fund by which the billions spent on this submarine won't count against the rest of the Navy's shipbuilding budget. Now, they're still going to cost the same old U.S. dollars out of the Treasury, but the Navy won't have to weigh its priorities and can go ahead with this staggeringly huge program, which has not been fully, to put it mildly, not been fully explained to the public.
But somebody obviously is in favor of it, and that would be people whose congressional districts include the contractors?
Oh, yes. There are a limited number of shipyards which can build these. I mean, it might be the one in Norfolk, for example, that's operated by Huntington Ingalls. I'm not 100% sure of, because the program is still like, they haven't yet started to pour the billions in, but shipbuilding is a prime example where members and senators with shipyards and so forth in their district come to battle in favor of these projects.
And I was intrigued by your listing number 5 here, approving the Russian rocket engine monopoly. And I thought with some of the launch activities going on in the U.S. private sector, the idea was to get away from the Russian rocket engine monopoly.
This is what drove McCain nuts, because this is what was the heart of his floor statement when he was saying, I can't control it. They're sneaking him past me. At the moment, we're dependent for our big, heavy lift satellite launches on a Russian-made rocket. And Congress is angry about that, so it has put in prohibitions starting in the future so we can adapt to it for buying the Russian launches. But this angered the two contractors, Boeing and Lockheed Martin, that use the Russian rockets. They don't want to lose their monopoly at this point over selling to the government. So they got a waiver. They sneaked it in to the bill so that they could overcome the prize limit that McCain had put on. and keep the Russian rockets having their monopoly sold through those two companies. Well, McCain comes to the Senate floor and he says, I just got this bill last night. It's 2,000 pages. There are things that I didn't know were in there. And he describes this particular provision as having been, the congressional slang is airdropped, meaning it arrives in the conference report, not from the House, not from the Senate, just sort of dropped in from a plane overhead. And this is, I might say, McCain, when he's making a speech on the Senate floor, he was throwing everything there was against this bad Russian monopoly, quoted me at some length, because I'd seen a very negative Defense Contract Audit Agency audit over the Russian providers of this rocket. McCain, like, he voted against the bill. The chairman of the committee voted against the bill. He was so angry about this.
We're speaking with Charles Tiefer, professor at the University of Baltimore Law School and knowledge person about all things in terms of defense spending. And let's talk about infrastructure for a moment. You mentioned protecting wasteful bases, and this has been going back and forth between the defense establishment and Congress for some time. The leaders in the Pentagon actually want to reduce the base infrastructure to match the size of the forces they're going to end up with, and Congress has turned them down over and over.
That's exactly right. You hear that they're changing the force structure. For example, they don't want to have as large an army as we had during the height of the Iraq and Afghan wars. And so a smaller army means you could definitely close some of the bases and consolidate their operations in a fewer. And we have a mechanism, it's called BRAC, that reduces the number of bases, and a commission puts together a list. Congress has to vote up or down on the list, and we need one. We haven't had one of these base reduction rounds in 10 years. The administration begged for one, and the Congress, it was so hostile to this, so hostile. They not only wouldn't start such a round, they put in an express prohibition against spending money even on, quote, proposing, unquote, such a round. It is not clear whether legally the administration next year can even ask Congress to have a base-closing round, because they'd have to spend some money proposing. That would be a proposal. This is purely because the communities that would be affected if their particular base was deemed surplus and was closed, those communities scream. And the majority party in Congress listens to the scream and says, we don't want any base closing.
Maybe a more fundamental question for you is this. For several years, defense budgets have been constrained relative to what they had been for the previous couple of decades. Now those limits, I guess, are pretty much off. And so with budgets rising, does that give the Defense Department less incentive to try to control costs and do away with things even it doesn't want?
I wish. The fact is that the hunger for defense spending is so great that the ceilings that have been lifted a little, not like blown off, just lifted a little, is still far below the appetites of the services and the contractors for spending. So you're gonna see many attempts made to, for example, spend up to the ceiling on new planes, the most profitable things, new planes and ships, and to keep starving money for projects like readiness, like the spare parts and training and the electronic basics that are needed to keep forces in the field, repairs. They will not be allowed their proper place in the new budget.
Charles Tiefer is professor at the University of Baltimore Law School and former solicitor and deputy general counsel for the House of Representatives. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.